Once upon a time, renowned archaeologist Isaac Eaglebald was digging in Transylvania. He unearthed a coffin, and when he opened it up, he saw a hideous vampire. The vampire lunged at him, screaming. Dr. Eaglebald quickly made a cross with his fingers and held it up. "Vile creature of the night," he proclaimed, "you have no power." The ghoulish fiend leered. "That doesn't work on me," he hissed. "I'm Unitarian." Says everything, right? That Unitarianism has a rich history in Transylvania does not, I concede, make Unitarian Universalism a religion for our time. It does make us fairly unique, however. And while our history is part of our identity, Unitarian Universalism today must also be visionary. It must ever be part of a process of being open, yet critical of false and unhealthy gods, idols, mythologies, and theologies. Of being compassionate, yet passionately denouncing injustice. Of being diverse and sensitive to people's needs and cultures, yet intolerant of violence done to others and to our world. In short, of being a searcher of truth, love, beauty, and wholeness, so as to both heal and transform the world. These are some of the themes that we talked about these past few months in the series of sermons on A Religion for Our Time. But I further suggested that a religion for our time needs to have a theological foundation, one that is non-creedal, non-doctrinal, and life-affirming, one that acknowledges the spiritual and divine in every person and the sacredness of our world. Using Brock and Parker's work, Saving Paradise, I would have us, as Unitarian Universalists, consider a theology of paradise, which, from my perspective, already forms the foundation of our principles and our sources. But there is one more step that I think our UU churches need to promote with fervor, with passion, for us not only to foster as a denomination, but to truly become a religion for our time. And that is spiritual deepening. I'm not convinced that paradise or life affirmation is even possible without spiritual deepening. Carl Jung talked about the individuation process as part of our very being, that our journey through life is a journey towards wholeness, and I concur. We are called in the very depth of our being to be healed and to be whole. We are called to be the spiritual beings that we are already. Michael Servetus, one of our heroes from the 16th century, who wrote On the Errors of the Trinity. You can see how that went over. Because he died at the hands of the Inquisition. He stated, "God himself is our spirit indwelling in us. In this we testify that there is in our spirit a certain working latent energy, a certain heavenly sense, a latent divinity, and it bloweth where it listeth, and I hear its voice." To put it another way, though it repeats a story I told last year, the fundamentalist Christian said to a Unitarian Universalist, "I hear you deny the divinity of Christ." To which the UU responded, "No, that's not true. We don't deny the divinity of anybody." And one of my favorite Universalist stories, one that many of you have perhaps heard, is about Hosea Ballou, who was a famous Universalist preacher in the 1800s. He was arguing the question of eternal damnation with a Methodist man of the cloth. Ballou quoted a number of Bible verses that showed the love of God for all, but the Methodist minister was unconvinced. "Brother Ballou," he remonstrated, "if I were a Universalist and feared not the fires of hell, I could hit you over the head, steal your horse, and saddle and ride away. and I'd still go to heaven. If you were a universalist, Ballou replied, the idea would never occur to you. The fact that the idea would never occur to Ballou or universalist says something, it seems to me, about ethical and spiritual depth. That we are spiritual beings or divine beings, I confess, is a faith statement. That we yearn for spiritual deepening is, however, an existential human need. When I was at the church in Glens Falls, New York, and was part of the St. Lawrence District, I was fortunate to be part of the district's vision, or what we called Futures Team. Members of the team visited or called every single congregation in the district to talk about the future of the district and the relationship between the congregations and the district itself. One of the most pervasive and consistent themes that came from those interviews was the desire for support in relation to congregational and individual spiritual deepening. As a result of our report, the district hired, part-time, an individual to be on staff as a spiritual consultant. A friend of mine, Reverend Jennifer Crow, when she was at the Rochester Unitarian Church, wrote an article, Our Question Mark Faith, in which she writes, quote, if we look deeper to the sense of fragmentation that many Americans are experiencing in this fast-paced, consumer-driven culture, perhaps it is not so surprising that Americans are searching for and embracing faith communities that help them to make sense of their world and to live more authentic lives. The questions that bring people to church are, how can I lead a deeper spiritual life? How can I be engaged with something beyond day-to-day secular life? How can I be part of a community of meaning and purpose? Jen further claims that the real vocation of our congregations is to turn tourists into pilgrims. And so, we must invite the tourists to come in out of the hallways, offering a pilgrimage of substance and depth that can help heal the fragmentation of our modern world, creating through our churches the beloved community of love and justice we so long for in this world. The individual longs to go on a journey that combines a deeper understanding of tradition, and I would happen to say paradise instead, an understanding of tradition with an emphasis on integrating personal spiritual experience. We have a very simple hymn in Singing the Journey, our teal hymnal, called Return Again. The words are, return again, return again, return to the home of your soul. Return to who you are, return to what you are, return to where you are, born and reborn again. However we understand the word soul, it is our self. As Hinduism understands the divine self, it is our very being, our being as love itself. It is our spirit as holy and sacred. These are what we return to. And if we want an example of the innocence, vulnerability, and depth this entails, we need only to look upon our children. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. Parker Palmer, in his work A Hidden Wholeness, speaks of the winged energy of delight. This energy, he says, comes from the soul, the core of pure being that children are so intimate with. That is, as the poet Rumi says, here for its own joy. The remarkable resilience youngsters often reveal, even in the face of great hardship, comes from this place called the soul. And the soul animates the secret lives that many of us led as children in an effort to shield our vulnerable selfhood from the threats of the world. It has always been interesting to me that the predominant paradigm in the West regarding human nature is that human beings consist of both animal and human. That which we call spiritual is something we have to learn about, unique, acquire, study, and work diligently at. But the Eastern Orthodox understanding of human nature is quite different. Human beings are both animal and spiritual. What needs to be worked on is our humanness, our human understanding of what it means to be, by nature, animal and spiritual already. Such a worldview does not condemn human beings to depravity, to original sin. Such a worldview does not see marriage and sexual intercourse as being for the purpose of having children only, but as acts of holiness and the sacred. The point is that our worldview changes dramatically when we already see ourselves as spiritual beings. For then our pilgrimage in life is a matter of returning to who and what it is we are, rather than being redeemed by something external because we are never good enough. This is the theology of the atonement, or crucifixion-centered Christology. We are instead called to return to our hearts, to our soul. We are to be born and reborn over and over again. Our life is a calling to that which we are already. We are spiritual, divine beings. The thing is, none of this is particularly new. Hinduism and Buddhism proclaim that the divine within and the divine surrounding us are one and the same. Some of the Gnostic Gospels, which were not accepted into the Bible, probably for political and theological reasons, also suggest the divine within. And for those who are Star Wars fans, the Force is within each person, and yet pervades the universe in a cosmic sense of unity and oneness. Our feeling lost sometimes, our feeling disconnected, our feeling alone have nothing to do with sin. They are the wanderings of the soul trying to return again to itself. This is our pilgrimage. This is our journey. This is our calling. But it does not serve us well to deny our pain and our vulnerability. We need to feel the hurt, the pain, the sadness within ourselves, among our neighbors, within the world. It is what gives us a deeper laugh. It is what compels us to do something constructive in the world and among ourselves. Just ask our youth who go on service projects to New Orleans, Mano and Mano in Maine, or Safe Passage in Guatemala. The pain and vulnerability allow us to love deeply and openly. It is what gives the divine child within the room to love the divine child in all people. And I would suggest that all of this follows and flows from a theology of paradise, from a foundational theology where life, love, beauty, and compassion are the norm. In fact, I would maintain that the two elements, or two more steps, beyond those espoused by Reverend Peter Morales in his Baltimore sermon, the two steps that I think are needed for Unitarian Universalism to truly be a religion for our time, one, a theological foundation like paradise, and two, the need for spiritual deepening, are ultimately one and the same. But it is in innocence, beauty, caring, and love. It is in pain, sadness, and vulnerability. It is in compassion and spiritual deepening that we shall return again. And then, we shall be a religion for our time. Blessed be.